Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fittest. I'm so excited to have IFBB Fitness Pro Michelle Fridua Mensa. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. That's why I was like, wow.
I can take over Bob Ciccarello's spot now, don't you think? Like,
I think you can. Yeah.
it's so exciting to have you here on the podcast. You had your Olympia debut last year, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes, and you did so well. And I remember watching from the live stream, and I think it was in the physique category when you came out, and I was like,
Yeah.
who is this?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Very standout. Your physique is amazing. And and then when I saw one of your Instagram posts about where you came from, and I'll probably pull that up. Your
Yeah.
physique, like you literally, I don't want to say you went from nothing, but you really had like almost no muscle, and it's just
No.
unbelievable.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I had literally nothing because most people thought that I built for lots of years. And I was like, no. So I had to show it because a lot of people didn't believe me.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm just kind of surprised. So, well, I'm really excited to have you here. First of all, where are you? You're in the UK, is that right now?
Yeah, I'm in London. Yeah, in the UK.
Okay. All right. And are you originally from Ghana, or is that your background?
That's my background. So, grew up in London, but my heritage is, well, Ghanaian and British. My mom's mixed, and my dad is Caribbean and a bit of Indian in there too. So, it's quite a lot going on.
That's awesome. Very cool. So Michelle, you go by Shelly. So I'm going to call you
Yeah.
Shelly. And you can call me Deb or Deborah, whichever you prefer.
Okay.
The first question that I usually ask is just to tell us a little bit about your background. What sports did you play growing up? And
Yeah.
then how that kind of transitioned into getting into the sport.
Well, I firstly started off with ballet, actually, and gymnastics, at a fun level. And then I got told to choose. So I chose gymnastics. And I did that since the age of 8 years old. And then I stopped doing competitive gymnastics in my teenagers. So I was around 16 at the time. And then I actually went into acrobatics, but I injured my shoulder because I was in a trio and so I would stand on someone and then someone would stand on me. And I was, as you can see, I was small brain. So I don't think I could take all that weight on top of my shoulders at that time. So I had to stop doing that as well because of my shoulder injury. And then I went to university, which is college.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Good. I'm getting there. And I then took up cheerleading, pretty much like the Bring It On film, because there wasn't any gymnastics. So yeah, if you know that film. But then I grew to love it. I then got scouted for an all-stars team. I didn't even know cheerleading was so big over here. So I entered into a whole nother world which I didn't know about, and I ended up going to the cheerleading worlds in 2015 in Orlando, representing the UK.
Wow.
And then I retired from that because by then I had my daughter. So I actually went back to sport 6 weeks after having her, and I tried out for the cheerleading squad, which is the one I stayed on and went to Worlds with. And then in the interim after that, I decided to take up ballet because, at 6 years old, I got told I had to choose. So I decided to do it as an adult. Actually got into a ballet school and then got published over here for taking up something so daring like ballet, at the age of 25. So yeah, that was great. And then I carried on doing that, but except I started to do photo shoots instead and doing little shows, but nothing too big, because I still had my daughter to raise. And then at the age of 30, I decided I needed to do something that I can carry on, has some sort of longevity to it. So I went to the gym, but I didn't pick up a weight. She didn't. I didn't pick up a weight for an entire 4 months. I went to a class, didn't I? That gym had handstand class, it had circus, it had the hoop, the trapeze, all of that. So I decided, oh, forget the weights. I looked at it and oh, no, I'm not doing that. And I went to the classes, and it wasn't until someone said to me, oh, have you tried doing weights? You got a nice slender frame. It might, help. You might enjoy it. It might be a challenge. And then I looked at it and went, no. It wasn't until a week later, then I looked up, everything in bodybuilding. And I remember actually seeing, I saw the likes of Whitney Jones, I saw Oksana Grishina, I saw Eira Kadar. And I used to watch them and I always was fascinated. And then I thought, oh, okay. I will try and pick up a weight, but I didn't do it to compete. So I literally picked up a weight and I decided that, yeah, I'm gonna make this a regular thing. And then from there, someone came up to me and said, have you tried, there's competitions in this and you can go that route, just like you did gymnastics. And I was like, I don't know. I just want to see how it goes. And then I actually went to a bodybuilding competition and I looked at it and I thought, oh, actually, I kind of miss competing and kind of looks fun. And oh, wow, I get to dress up in my sparkly things. So I thought, okay, let me give that a go. And also at that time, I was on a, I should say, before I started bodybuilding, I was taking in a lot of sugar. And I was like, I can't be doing this the rest of my life. This is probably gonna go very badly for me. So I thought, okay, let me see if I can compete. And by then I knew some sort of knowledge. And I contacted a lady, and the rest was history. Got me ready for competition. And my first competition in IFBB was the very first Arnold's UK, where I went for my pro card. I was only amateur for 4 weeks because I had to do a regional before I could step on that stage. So I did the regional and then went to the Arnold's. That Friday, got my pro card, got invited to the pro show, and the Saturday I won the pro show and qualified for Olympia in 24 hours, basically. So that was
Mic
that.
and just drop it like that was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so quick. It took me months to realize what had happened, but the judges, Steve Weinberg, he was amazing. And he told me to contact Whitney Jones, and then she will guide me and escalate me quickly into the world of fitness. Because before I even went on stage, I was actually only meant to do figure. I didn't discover fitness until lockdown when I was just tumbling in the park with my daughter. And I just remember getting a few messages saying, oh, are you doing fitness? And I was like, fitness? No, I'm doing figure. And then my coach at the time, she messaged me and said, you should do fitness. I went, oh, funny you said that. A few people have said that. She goes, you could do both. And then you can see what route they choose you to go down. I was like, okay. So that was that. So I actually did both at the Arnold. Came second in figure. So I did really well as well.
Yeah.
So I was super proud of that. But fitness, I knew was my destiny, and I absolutely enjoyed, performing. And it just brought everything together because I can do everything, in fitness. I can add ballet elements, cheerleading, gymnastics, be creative and do the bodybuilding side of it as well. So yeah.
You were like made for it. That's so, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story.
Oh,
you know what
you.
I love the most is that you had to choose when you were six. And then as an adult, you were like, I'm going to do this now because there's no time limit on a dream, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool. Well, so what year was it that you, when you won the Arnold and you, or you won your pro card, what year was that?
So that was October 2021.
Okay.
So it's been, well, it's 2 years now, nearly. Nearly.
How old are you now?
I'm 35.
Okay. You're like in your prime. It's like prime years. 30s are like, I feel like prime years. And even for fitness, I mean, good grief, Whitney is 45?
45, yeah. She just had a birthday.
Yeah.
And she's still going strong. So
yeah.
There you go. And Oksana Grisha, I think she's 45 as well. Like, get that right.
I'm not sure. I think she might be older, actually. I don't know. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess.
Yeah.
mess with that.
But yeah, they're fit. They look great. So I just hope I could, you know, get to that point as well. But I like to see how things go. I always believe that I should have fun with my journey. And once that stops, then, you know, I need to figure it out.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm having fun. So don't worry, I'm not going anywhere yet.
Yeah, I feel like that's the pattern, is you do something until you don't. And then you find something else. It was such a chill. Is that really how you feel like your life just kind of took you, like kind of where the wind blew and you're like, oh, I'm going to try this.
Yeah, that's pretty much me. That's how I am. One thing about me though is if I decide to do something, I literally go from 0 to 100, like the song. You heard the song? I'm one of those.
So how old is your daughter now?
So she's 10.
Okay. How does that work for you as far as like balancing, you know, fitness and Olympia competition and prep with raising a child? Is that difficult?
It can be at times challenging, but I have to say I have a great support network. And if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't make things work. She's been absolutely amazing. And I think because she raised me as an athlete, and my daughter is now an athlete as well, she knows what it takes to, you know, get to the top. And I also told her it's her fault, not in a joke. you made me into an athlete. Well, she didn't make me into an athlete. I actually chose, you know, my path. She's always been that way. She said, do what you love. She also told my daughter that. So I'm so happy my daughter chose gymnastics, but if she chose something else, I would have been just as equally happy as well. In fact, she does other sports that I'm like, no. So she does soccer. She loves soccer. You know, tennis, she's pretty good at. She does kung fu, like she does a lot. and I'm like, no to those ones. But I love the fact that she enjoys it. And yeah, my mom just instilled that in me as well. So yeah, if it wasn't for her holding us all together, I wouldn't make things happen. But saying that, there was a time when she couldn't be around, and that was due to lockdown because she had to shield. And I realized I had a, you know, beyond my mom, I had an even larger support network, and they kept it going as well. So I always feel like if you want to make something happen, you will. And people are willing to help.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It does take a village, and sometimes it just takes you reaching out. Because like you said, I think the support is there. A lot of people feel like, you know, they're alone doing something. And like you said, there's always people that are willing to help. They don't always know that you need it. And asking can be hard too.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think they saw that I needed help as well. People started to reach out. And also, yeah, saying I need help, which at the time was pretty hard for me to do as well. But then I thought, okay, what's the harm going to be? All someone's going to say is no. But to be fair, I got so much support. It was actually mind-blowing.
That's a really good lesson. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's awesome. All right. Well, what else was I going to talk to you about? So what do you have going on now? What's the plan?
Right, so I'm actually on a small break at the moment. I needed a break. I could have carried on and gone to Olympia this year,
Yeah.
but I decided to, well, firstly, I haven't had an off season as a pro or amateur, whatever it may be. So I decided that I should have that break and then go really hard at it again next year. So that's my plan of action. So at the moment, I am in off season until end of November, and then I will put my application in for the Arnold's. I know there's Arnold's US and Arnold's UK, so I'll put in for both and then see what happens from there. But I'm hoping to do one of those shows. So yeah, we'll see what my chances are. I mean, I placed third at Arnold's US, and Arnold's UK I've won. So yeah, let's see. I leave it up to fate. And if fate says it's not going to be, it's not going to be. But I do know that next year I will be on stage and I will be trying to go for another Olympia qualifier as well.
Amazing. Do you, was it shocking to you? Has it been shocking to you? This just the quick escalation, or are you able to give yourself credit for putting in the work? So, like you said, you're all in. What do you think? It's been like 2 years.
You know what? It was shocking. Not gonna, I have to be honest with that. But at the same time, every time I stepped off stage, people made me realize that I do work extremely hard. And, they've watched me, day in and day out and not giving up and being relentless. So, and they've honed that into me. So they made me see reality after I was in shock and living on a cloud for a little while. And then the cloud just got bigger and bigger because, things just kept happening and opportunities kept coming up. And, I was like, whoa, at one point.
So you were able to, is this when you were able to quit your job? Is that what you did? You quit your gymnastics coaching job and now you are coaching full time. Is it online coaching? Explain that a little.
So what happened is my life literally changed overnight. And I knew I couldn't sustain a full-time job with contracted hours and train as much as I needed to in order to do well. So I decided to go into online coaching. However, I was prepared beforehand. Someone told me your life will change. They don't know when, but you need to get all your ducks lined up. So I actually had that done. So yeah, again, great support network. And so it was quite easy for me to transition over to online coaching and then personal training as well in the gym, which I was doing anyways. I just wasn't doing it on a full-time scale. But yeah, literally as soon as I told my, gymnastics clubs that I was leaving, they were of course sad. I was so sad because of the kids. I got to know them for years. But at the same time, they were so happy for me because they knew that this was going to be a big chapter in my life. And I still see them and I still do privates in gymnastics. So there's a gym club next to me who allow me to do privates, and that's flexible hours. So I can do as much as I can or as little as I can and still get my training in. So to be fair, I have best of the both worlds now. I just had to take that leap. Which sometimes can be daunting because when you get rid of your jobs and you're like, now what's gonna happen? But no, everything fell into place. And I, you know what, I just thought I'm just going to work hard and make it work. And that's what I did.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you work with your daughter at all too, or is she at a separate gym or club?
So she was at the same club as me. But then she went to a club that I used to go to, again, another club. actually my old cheerleading club. She is now there because she does power tumbling. And yeah, I leave it to her and I leave it to the coaches because I don't want to be one of those moms that just keep, interfering. And it can be confusing, for kids sometimes if they, one of the coaches is saying, you got to do it this way. And you're like, no, you got to do it this way. So I have put my faith into them. And it did help that I was there too. And, they did a great job. So yeah, I leave her to have her own journey. But if she needs help in anything, I will help. In fact, the other day, she came down to my gym club and I did a private with my daughter. So that was actually really fun. but yeah, it was just fascinating to watch because she had learned so much independently. And then, she was saying, oh, can you just help me tweak this and, do this? And I was like, wow. So yeah, that's what I do in terms of my daughter. Same with my mom. So my mom takes my daughter to her sessions as well. So that allows me to train and to work. And then, everyone can have a good life, hopefully. So.
It's a good lesson for with bodybuilding too, with coaches, just finding a coach and putting your trust in that coach,
Yeah.
I love that. And you trusted her experience, and then you find out she's learning things that maybe you wouldn't have taught her, and
Yeah.
a little extra. So like that's really cool.
Yeah. The thing is, I've never known any other way. And, in bodybuilding, I often see, some moving from coach to coach. But in gymnastics, I always had the same coach. And I feel like your coach gets to know you as a person. And in bodybuilding, most importantly, they'll get to know how your body works. And if you hop around, how are they supposed to know? And I feel like every time I've done a competition, even though it's been a short space of time, we've both learned, how things work, how my body works, and what we need to do going forward. And it just makes prepping easier and easier as you go along because you know what works and we know what doesn't work. So I think it's the same thing when it comes to my daughter's training as well. So her coach knows her too. So I feel like it's important to have stability when it comes to having a coach.
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree with that. And it's you give 100% and your coach gives 100%, and you figure you both learn. This is one of the things that I love about coaching, is because it's an opportunity for me to learn something, because that each person is a brand new experience. So yeah. But you're right about that, coach hopping. Although you get good experiences whenever you work with a coach. You have to have that trust, and you have to work on building that relationship instead of trying to, because you're going to find something different. You're always going to find something different, but it might not be better, and honing that.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
if you're that miserable, I should say, then obviously you need to move on. But, if something can be fixed just by communication, why not do that? Or just trying out simple things together. Most of the time, I think things break down is because there's not a lot of communication going on or things are misunderstood. So I'm one of those people that asks a lot of whys. Like, why am I doing that? Why am I eating sweet potato? That way, because I know and my coach has told me, I'm like, oh, okay. Makes sense.
I know, and I think a lot of people don't realize that whatever the outcome is, they don't think of like what the result is of something. And sometimes you have to dig deep or go back a little bit to figure it out. But
Yeah.
yeah, asking why is definitely the best route.
Exactly. Until there's no more whys. I feel like right now I'm like, I think I've done all the whys. I just need to get on with it.
Then I'm always like, I'm gonna talk to one of my other coach friends, and then I'm gonna get back to you. We're gonna have to have a consult. So
Consultation, yeah.
yes.
Yeah, sometimes that can happen as well.
Yeah.
I think I had one of those sort of consultations when I was trying to figure out why my energy was lacking in my routine. And then someone was like, yeah, because you're holding a lot of muscle. I was like, that's a point, a big point. So
Was it surprising to you, like, how difficult is it to get through those 2 minutes? Is it 2 minutes?
It's too, well, my routines have been 2 minutes.
Is it over 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's just under, well, it should be 2 minutes and under. So my last one was 159. So I think some people are between 140 and two, but it's definitely more closer to the 2 minutes that it should be.
Okay. Yeah. And then with your excitement from being on stage and everything, I've seen so many of the fitness girls who are up there for the first time. Really, you can see a petering out, just because you're not prepared with the adrenaline and everything else that's going on, right? It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think every routine has been an experience.
Okay.
Nothing goes to plan as perfectly as I think it's going to go.
Oh.
So I realized that you just have to go with what is happening on the day. You know, push through, fight as hard as you can. And if you can do that, you will get through. So yeah, I think when you start to bring in stress and think, oh, things are happening, why? That's when things start to crumble. So I always go into each routine as in, this is today. You need to get through. That's the end of the story. I'm going to get to the end.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to the end and finish well. So that's how I see it. And if I, you know, things happen, at least I know I tried. I tried my best. I was, you know, and that is all you can do. I believe in any competition. And once I've done that, to be fair, if I came last and I tried my best, I will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. You must have been so excited to place top five at your first Olympia. Because, right, isn't the goal just to be like, okay, I'm making it to the Olympia stage? You don't even.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm stepping on this stage. Never mind anything else. That's a bonus.
So you were working with Whitney for your routines, right? She's been helping you with your routines. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet her first? Or was this like all like online type stuff?
I met her to do my routine.
Okay.
But I hadn't met her when I decided to work with her.
Okay.
So we met for the very first time when I flew down to Arizona to do my first ever routine with her. So my Arnold's UK routine, I put together myself. So that was pretty special. Looking back at it, I'm like, wow, could have done way better. But again, I shouldn't do that because it was good for that time and look where it got me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a very special routine that was.
I think that it's hard not to be critical, right? I know I talked to Ariel a couple of times too, and she said, I always look at my routine and I notice everything I did wrong.
Yeah, same. I'm like that. I'm like, oh. And then I have to come back to it. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Because, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's amazing. I'm like, You know, so I have to come back. I have to come back because, you know, I need to see what other people are seeing. And then, you know, not shut myself down too much and just keep moving forward and keep improving.
Yeah. It's so intense, though. I just can't imagine, like, you. I mean, we look at them and we're like, oh, that was flawless. They nailed it. And you look at it. It would be really great to be able to look at your routine to see it, how perfectly you would want to see it be done.
Okay. Yeah. Like in our heads.
Yes.
Wow. Is it so different?
I don't know, but then I feel like then you're not a true, like, that's like the bodybuilding aspect, right? Like, it's always the always improving head game that is the sport, I think.
It is a head game, because I always say, when I look at my body as well, the physique, I'm like, could do more, could do more, could do more, could do more, could do more. And then after the stage, once you finish that, I look back, I'm like, wow, shredded. Like, you know what I mean? I'm scaring myself. So I'm like, what was I thinking?
What is that? Because what is that when you're in the middle of prep? You know, I've only had a few preps in my life, but I look back at some of the pictures and I'm just like, why did I not appreciate what? Why can't you see yourself? Why is that, Shelly, that you can't see yourself when you're in the middle of prep?
I think, well, I always put it down to lack of energy. I don't know, you become a bit hazed. I say I enter into a whole new world, and then, you know, later on I come back out. But yeah, I think it's literally that, because I feel like now, but even now I look at myself and I'm like, I can do a lot, you know, in a month. I can do so much improvements. And it's like, no, you can't do that much. Like, why? Are you kidding yourself? So, but at the same time, I think that's what puts us on top, you know, forever striving for something, whatever that may be.
So yeah,
I think we all have different levels that we're striving for, different things that we're looking for. You yeah. know, I might be like, in my routine, I need to jump higher. Where someone says to me, you jump really high. Whereas, you know, Ariel could be looking at, oh, my handstands, you know, could have held that longer, or when it's like you held it for a very long time.
Yeah. So,
you know, we all have different perspectives.
I think that there's a lesson in like the amount of energy that you put towards something, like with your thoughts, isn't going to change the amount of work that you can put into it. Like you said, I could do so much in a month, but then you just do all the things that you're supposed to do. All the extra thought and maybe like worry that you put into it isn't helping the situation. Yeah. It's not more effort. It's just more, it's wasted energy, right? Thinking you could do more when you can't do more.
Yeah. So I actually, on that topic, my last prep, which is actually the best prep I've had, barring the honors US, that was a pretty good prep too. But I felt like this one, in terms of like how I was thinking that less is more, really worked. Because before I was just like cranking it. And then I was like, I'm so tired and I'm doing the most. You know, so I really focused on this time on recovery, sleep. And I felt so much better in my routine, actually. My endurance was higher because I had more sleep, which was crazy. But, you know, these simple things we miss out, because all we're thinking about is, you know, this end goal in our head that's not, yeah, as you said, necessary.
Yeah. What did you do some things to distract yourself, or just be like, do what you needed to do and then move on to the next? Just trying to keep in present with your headspace, maybe?
Yeah, so I got a journal this time instead of a diary, because, you know, you'd be writing things and you're just like, I've got too much to do, you know, I'll tick all these boxes. So I actually got a journal and decided to just start writing my thoughts, which meant that I was having time to chill, which I didn't have, because I had to write down my thoughts. It gave me time to think and reflect. I also decided to, you know, get 8 hours of sleep per night, without fail. So switch my phone, you know, to silent mode and go to bed. You know, don't be like, oh, I could answer this person. And then it's, before you know it, it's 6 hours sleep. So I decided to do that, which really helped. And I decided to, with work, I would do quite a lot in one go because I'm used to that. So I would do like 6 to 8 clients in a row. And I was like, why? When I don't need to anymore do that. So I decided to space them out, have, you know, breakfast, have your lunch. And then at one point I decided to have a small break where I walked home, had a nap and came back. And that worked really well. Just by organizing, you know, myself and my clients. And to be fair, they were super happy with it, because, you know, I was just like, well, can you do this time instead? They were like, yeah, That's all I needed to do. Instead of being like, okay, I can fit you in. Okay, I can try. Yeah, okay, try. I'll try. I'll try. You know, before you know it, I'm like, why am I doing so much?
Yeah, it's, I love talking about this because I think about this all the time as far as just like life goes. You know, I grew up with all these, like this mentality of like you almost like you're, I don't want to say your worth is based on how much you're doing, but doing more, it kind of validates you. You feel like you've accomplished more. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're just like, you know, what for? Like, am I going to run myself into the ground, you know, trying to make only this much more money or, you know, whatever it is. And you're like, am I enjoying my days? Are they all the same? Because I'm just zipping through them, like checking, like you said, checking off boxes and not, you know, enjoying moments and just relaxing. You always are like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so I just feel like it is, it's really, really important to just kind of like calm down and be like, this is enough for today. Tomorrow, because you always have stuff to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So whether you accomplish your list or not, it's going to either, it, like, you still have a new list.
Going to carry on, So you might as well take a chill and be like, look, I've done enough for today. We start again tomorrow. So I also put in time for like, because online requires admin. So I decided, well, I'm going to do 2 hours a day. And when the 2 hours is up, unless it's urgent, then that's it. It's up.
You were gonna do, wait, what did you say it requires? What
administration, or what do you call it?
Okay, I don't know what that
writing,
is.
Typing,
okay,
talking, messaging.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we call it admin over here, so I thought it was universal. but yeah, the language over here is so different, I realize
it is.
So I decided to schedule that into my work day, which I didn't think about. It wasn't until one of my really good friends, and she's been a personal trainer for quite a while, and she said she doesn't do more than, I think it's like 36 hours a week. And I said, does that include admin? And she was like, yes. And I was like, you see, this is where I went wrong. I was like,
you didn't schedule it in. You mean like,
so now
emails and stuff like that? You mean like all of the, is that what you're saying? Like emails and.
Emails, messaging and planning, doing people's, you know, the fitness plans and nutrition plans and check-ins, feedback, all of that I hadn't scheduled in. So it was extra hours on top of what I was doing. So it means that my hours are like 60 hours in a week, which causes a burnout. So now I've scheduled that in and it's been working really well. So I literally had to just sit down for a day, rehaul my life. And now I'm just more energized, which is great.
I love that idea too of like, cause I do this too. If I'm going to like, I'm going to write a program or whatever it is, I'll be like, how much time can I put, like, can I focus on this? And I'll be like, I'm going to do this for 90 minutes. And just see how far, you know, I've gotten. And then maybe I'm going to take a break or something like that. Like I used to do this with my daughter, trying to get her to clean her room because she would be like, oh, it's an overwhelming task. And I would just be like, just set the timer for 15 minutes and let's just see what you can get done. And a lot of times she would almost get it clean because she would just be like, I only have to do this for 15 minutes. And she would just, you know, haul ass.
I love that. that's really good. Yeah, because you don't realize what you can get done. And most often or not, in the, like I say, I do 2 hours. Some days I do a little bit more. I can do so many plans and finish them and still have time to spare and answer more emails. So I think it's just setting that time. But when you have no time limit, you're just like, you know, just going. And it's like, before you know, it's like, wow, I've done 4 hours.
And I like the idea of doing a little bit of something every day. It's kind of like fitness stuff too, right? Like you don't do all your workouts in one day. You do a little bit every day. You eat, you know, your 4 or 6 meals a day. Like you don't do everything all at once to get it done because you're going to have to do something else tomorrow. So, but it's a tough, It's a tough thing to wrap your head around, I think, when you're just like
It is.
getting
It took
it
me a
done.
while. It took me a while, especially when I remember coming off the Arnold stage and going to the gym, for the first time, and I was like, wow, and so many people coming up to me, and before you know, people want to take my picture. I was like, why? And then after that, they were like, how are you going to get everything in? You don't just do the weights. I was like, I think I know this. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, routine to do. I just did one. So, and then that's when things start to get overwhelming. So I decided, you know what? People can, they're going to talk. And I am grateful for it because it just shows they're interested and, they're just happy for my journey. So I decided I'm not going to take that all. Absorb that all in and overwhelm myself. So I decided, right, I'm just going to take every day as it comes. That's what you can do, and just have a good plan of action.
Yeah, you do have to like schedule. So fitness is different than the other categories because obviously you have to work a lot more on your performance and you have to
Yeah.
fit that in. So are you scheduling, blocks of time that you're working more on your what are they called? The tricks and the acrobats and acrobatics and what is all that called?
Yes. I schedule in my well what I did for this prep that I just had, I decided to do classes, and then I have a dedicated time for my routine and skills in my routine.
Skills.
And doing classes meant that I wasn't stressing about my routine, but I was still learning new skills. So it was
Okay.
kind of like it was kind of like doing things without knowing that I was learning new skills, but I was enjoying it and having fun. And also, it was another downtime for me because gymnastics is what I love. I've been doing it, practically all my life. So I decided to do that. And it worked so well because I was doing cardio at the same time. It meant that I didn't have to go on a treadmill, learn new skills. And my endurance went higher because those classes are intense as an adult. So,
Yeah.
I was doing an hour and a half of tumbling just back and forth and back and forth. And before you know it, when I had to put it in my routine, it was, it wasn't that hard because I've been doing it. It might not have been the exact skill, but I did all the building blocks for it.
Yeah, you are totally prepped for it. That's awesome. So, what is your training looking like? Over a week's time, like a split or whatever. What are you working on in that manner?
So I my feedback this time was to concentrate on my routine because my body's pretty
Perfect.
well. Thank you. yeah. So I got excellent feedback on my physique around this time. Well, I've got excellent feedback every time. But they said, yeah, pretty much just come in if you come in conditioned enough. Everything is fine, you're proportionate. So I thought, great, let's not get unproportionate. So that's the hard bit is, trying to stay in a certain shape that you need to be in. Because you can always work harder to get to something, but staying there is something else. So at the moment I'm trying to maintain. So I train 5 days a week. I actually do a split where I do three leg days and two upper body days. If I do any more my upper body, it will be absolutely stacked. I do not train my biceps or triceps because I do that in gymnastics anyways. So I'm gonna add even more bulk to it. I train more my shoulders and lats. And in my lower days, I have pretty developed quads. But my hamstrings and glute development could do a little bit more. It's on the edge. So I tend to focus on that instead. So yeah, I'm missing out a few body parts because it's already covered in gymnastics and it will keep me balanced. So with gymnastics, I do 3 times a week. I do one private session where I actually go through skills that I want to work on for my routine. And then I do classes. And then before my weight training, I tend to do, again, 3 to 4 times a week, I do skills. So I split my skills up. So I'll be like, okay, today is handstand day. And then the next will be more tumbling skills. And the next will be like straddle holds. And I work through the mandatories that we need to do, or jumps that we need to do for stage. So again, it might not necessarily be the skills that's in my routine, but I'm working on something that could potentially go in there.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. But if I think about it that way, it seems better in my head.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Well, I want to share, I want to tell you, I love your Instagram. You post a lot of really good content. Your captions are really good, very like motivational, always good content, and you know, your videos and everything else. I just love that. So I wanted to take us to, here we go.
Oh, that's me.
Yes. Yeah, and I want to show first this picture of you from your start. What is this? This is crazy.
Yeah.
What is it? So this was in 2018 on the left.
Yes.
2018.
Yeah.
Shelly, what the frick?
I know. Even I look at it, I'm like, wow, is that me? But it is, yeah.
You like ate your old self. Like it's...
You know, someone said that to me.
Did they?
They hadn't seen me since I think you call it elementary school. We call it primary school over here. And she looked at me, and I remember seeing her, but it took her about, I think, 10 minutes to come over to me. She goes, "Are you Michelle?" And I was like, "Yeah." "Are you Kimberly?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, she was like, "You look what you look like you ate yourself." I went, "Oh." And then I actually remembered that I transformed.
Yeah. Have you ever had those, you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of people who have like rapid weight loss where they still feel overweight. Did you ever look at yourself and just be like, oh, I can't believe I created this. Like, it's crazy. Do you have those moments?
I do actually all the time. Like even now, I, you know, looking at that, I'm like, I look like that. Like, wow. Like, seriously? But yeah, you know what? I think we should do this more often in our journey, just putting pictures together and seeing, even if the progress is small, because it does impact you in your, you know, in the brain. And it helps me to keep moving forward and to think, okay, you know, you did that. Well done. You know, instead of constantly thinking I should do more, you know, as you've been talking about. So yeah, putting this together really made me think about my journey and how I, you know, got to this point, which is, you know, for the first time, I remember putting those two together saying, okay, you did well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love this picture of, you know, I know this is a video if I click on it, but your daughter is a carbon copy of you. Like,
oh, thank you.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So very nice. So nice. But
you know, she invited me to her school.
Say it again.
So I actually cried because this was so sweet. So my daughter invited me to Careers Week, and I had to talk to the school about bodybuilding. And they absolutely, you know, loved it. And then they sent me a card, and they drew a weight. And they put 30 kg, and you know, they put all my, you know, all everything that I discussed on this one card and signed it. It was just like, wow. And you don't realize like what journeys you're on can how it can impact people, even kids. So yeah, that was special.
That's incredible. I love that. And we've seen different people make appearances for different reasons at schools who are involved in the sport and or seeing kids at the shows. And it's like, I mean, you look like real life superheroes. So they're just, of course they're loving it and they're fascinated. It makes me think about, I don't have it so much anymore, but I think about 10 years ago when social media and when Instagram was big, we would get so many trolls and people saying horrible comments. Any woman that was involved in bodybuilding and in the sport in any way. And it's like people think it's cool. Like you're the outlier who doesn't think it looks good.
Well, yeah, that's so true. You know what? I always think that trolls and, you know, people who send horrible comments and stuff, at most, you know, they probably want something that you want or you have got, and they just don't know how to get it, so they just think, okay, I'm gonna put this one person down. So I actually ignore all of that. I live in my own world, apparently. And I literally just think to myself, I'm on my journey, you know, for myself or my family. And this is me. You either accept it or you don't. And that's it. And then you live a happy life, I feel.
I mean, it's pretty simple to say, I know who my people are. You're not my people. It's fine, I'm not for everybody. I mean, nobody likes everybody, and that's okay. That's okay,
Yeah,
So, anyways,
exactly.
I love this, and this is from.
Oh, that's such a beautiful photo of us all.
Yes.
That's what I love about fitness as well. You know, the girls have been amazing to me. And they literally just welcomed me in with open arms and was like, "You're in the fitness family from day one." And I was just blown away by that because I didn't have that in my other journeys. Gymnastics is very solo. Cheerleading, as much as you're in a team, it's like you put a foot wrong and everyone's after you. Not in a malicious way, but it's like, why did you do that? You know, so although this journey is, you know, for yourself, at the same time, it's just nice to be part of a family. And I can contact any of these girls and they're willing to, you know, to talk to me, you know, even help or, and I feel the same about them. So it's just something really special.
Yeah, I've interviewed women from all different categories, and there is a camaraderie amongst each category. I want to say though, I think that it is maybe a little bit more tight with the fitness girls, just because I feel like I don't want to say it's harder because I don't want to diminish what other people are doing, but because of the element of the skills that you guys throw in there in your routines. You just know it's like a whole different level because the, those last 4 6 4 weeks of prep are exhausting. And so, to have that routine in there as well is just
I think it's because we understand what we're all going through, not that we are, you know, saying we're different from other categories, because I think every category is unique in its own way. But I think it's because we, you know, there's not many of us, number one, and we understand what is happening. So I think that's why maybe we are, you know, we are close in that way.
Yeah. Was it pretty amazing though to be like, these are the women that, because you saw them, you looked up to them, and then now you're like, I'm standing next to them. Like, how surreal is that?
Gosh, it blew. Oh, it just blows my mind. All of it just blows my mind. I think I said it about 1,000 times, but yeah, especially when I met them all at Olympia, and I'm like, I'm not just looking at you at a laptop or on Instagram, and I was like, you're actually in front of me saying hey. I was like, wow. I remember when I first met Whitney, and I was just staring at her. She probably thought I was strange, but she said she loved my accent, so maybe she didn't. So yeah, so I was literally like, I watched you know, all the stuff that you have out there, and now you're in front of me. Like, wow.
It is, and I think like it's pretty crazy because now you have women who are looking at you in the same way, so
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around that one.
I met Oksana at the Olympia. I got to work there. It was when like they did there was more booth work and stuff like that, so I worked for a company named Ice Skater Fitness. And we went to one of the meetings or whatever, and I went up to her, and I had never seen her before in person. And I just looked into her eyes, and I was just like, and all I could do was cry. I was just like, oh, like this is just the coolest thing. So, I mean, everybody is looking up to you. You are absolutely the best in the world. And I know that you're impacting a lot of women, whether they're trying to get into the sport or just, you know, trying to build muscle and be healthy. I love even just your transformation. Like you're going to be in this for a long time, whether you still compete or not, because, you know, it's a beautiful look. It's healthy to be carrying more muscle, and you love what you do, you know? So it's just a great thing to get into. And I know that you're inspiring so many women with what
Oh,
you're doing.
thank you. Probably gonna make me cry right now. You know, I just wanted to show others what is possible, and even being a, you know, a parent as well, because there's a lot of moms actually in the fitness category as well. And I just want to say that if you love something, you can still do what you love and still raise a family and, you know, still have a life as well. So even when on prep, you know, you can still socialize. You can still do things. You know, you might not be able to do certain things at that time, but you can make it work. And just always be the best version of yourself. That's one of my biggest, you know, things that I put out there, especially to like my clients as well. I say everyone's journey is unique, and you've got to enjoy it. You've got to love it, and that will push you forward. Everything else is a bonus. If you love what you do every day, you'll be happy, no matter, you know, what comes, and every opportunity, if it arises and it's the right time, go for it. But if it doesn't fit in, you know, there's always going to be more, as I always say. So if I, you know, live your life like that, you shouldn't have that much stress, and you should, you know, then be a happy person and positive. I love positivity.
You're very positive. I can tell. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Why not?
Well, I think exactly what you're saying, you know, life kind of takes you where you're supposed to go, and as long as you're enjoying it and you're aware, there's going to be lots of opportunities to do things. And if an opportunity presents itself, then, you know, I think that's a sign for you to try to make things work. Because you wouldn't have gotten the opportunity if you know, God or whatever you believe in.
I do, yeah.
Yes, you know,
I
so.
believe in the stars aligning as well. I always say that. I'd be like, the stars will align, and how they align is what I will go for. And everyone's like, oh, okay.
Yes. Yes. Very cool. Well, I think that's a really great message to end on, Michelle. Shelly, I think it was a really great message to end on. And I think this is going to be a very inspiring one for a lot of women that are listening. You rose to the top so quickly, but you had this, you know, years and years and years of setting yourself up for it. So you're prepared when the opportunity presented itself, and you're just, here you are.
Yeah, here I am. So yeah, but I believe this journey was meant to be. And I'm just, as you said, I wouldn't change anything because I wouldn't be sitting here today, having this conversation with you. And you know, this has really touched me, and I'm honored that you know, decided to have this talk with me as well, and you know, tell everyone my journey and how I became who I am. So yeah, thank you as well.
My pleasure. Shelly, if people want to get a hold of you for coaching or to follow your journey, where is the best place that they can reach out to you?
So you can reach out to me on my Instagram, which is Shelly Fit, IFBB Pro.
Okay.
And I will answer any messages you like and happy to help as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you again for being here, and we wish you all the best with your first off season.
Thank you. It's great, I have to say.
Yeah, and your
But
new
I do miss
mindset.
the
Pardon?
stage. Exactly. I say I do miss the stage as well. But I think it's good to, you know, just have
Yeah.
this time to improve and chill and spend a lot of time with my daughter. So,
Yeah.
that's what I'm doing as well.
Maybe what everything that's happened will be able to catch up with your head so you can kind of comprehend.
Yes, I think things are starting to catch up. So I think they are now.
Very cool. So we will look for you on the Arnold stages. Would you do both of them if you're accepted?
Yes, I
Okay.
will.
All right.
Fingers crossed, let's see what happens. But yes, I would absolutely love to do both. I mean, Arnold's UK is what made me, and Arnold's US is, you know, the pinnacle, the home of the Arnolds. So if I get the opportunity, I will take it.
Wonderful. Well, we'll look for those as well. So, thanks everyone for listening and watching to another episode of The Women's Fittest. You can find me on Instagram at BuffCake22. You can follow the podcast at The Women's Fittest. This will also be on my YouTube at BuffCake22. And you can listen wherever you download podcasts. And I want you to remember to, oh, what is my catch line here?
Ooh.
Healthy looks different on everybody.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Have a great day.